This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last week, the Justice Department indicated it may investigate nooses on a tree in Gina, Louisiana. This week, the New York State Legislature votes on a bill that would make a public display of a noose a felony. In a commentary on All Things Considered last week, writer John McWhorter proposed a different approach. Walking on by might be the way to tamp down this expression of racism, he wrote, which prompted some furious emails. Your message isn't just frustrating, one listener wrote. It's dangerous. I'm overwhelmed by the level of your ignorance and arrogance. John McWhorter was right on the button, another listener wrote. It's time for the media and black leadership to stop driving and reporting using the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield. So what's the appropriate response to racism and symbols of racism like nooses? Should hanging a noose be a crime? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the program, why the secret to a successful newspaper may be to report fake news. But first, John McWhorter joins us from our bureau in New York City. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and author, most recently, of Winning the Race Beyond the Crisis in Black America. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation, John McWhorter.
Thanks.
And I wanted to read you another of the emails, and this is there were several along these lines. I would challenge your modest proposal as an appeasement to the terrorist. I'm certain that there were plenty of Jews in Nazi Germany who were told to ignore the swastika. Mr. Waters should develop contempt not for the blacks in the media that react and report, but for the many non-blacks who don't react at all. He should recall the words attributed to Edmund Burke: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Oh, am I supposed to have a response?
Well, I was hoping for one.
Okay. Well, the point here is not that I, for some reason, am ignorant of the meaning of nooses. I mean, I think we can all agree that as somebody who has a decent education and has been around for 42 years and is black myself, it's not that I don't know about nooses or lynching and what they mean. Mm-hmm. The issue is what we're going to do about this noose epidemic right now. And the analogy between the nooses and swastikas is off because, and of course we know this in hindsight, but it wasn't exactly not obvious even at the time, the swastikas were interpreted by plenty of intelligent people as a sign of an oncoming onslaught. Something was beginning. It was going to get worse. However, if anyone thinks that the noose epidemic now is evidence that open racism or even covert racism is increasing in this country rather than decreasing. Very important. I didn't say that there was no racism. The issue is if these things are being interpreted as a sign that, you know, the cavalry is going to be coming over the horizon and that we're going to go back to 1925, then I suggest that that's a rather eccentric engagement with our modern reality, which is imperfect but promising. Rather, these things are remnants. They are pranks, nasty pranks being pulled by people. It's unfortunately become a kind of fashion. The world is a difficult place. But in this case, I'm proposing ignoring these nooses not because I want to criticize black commentators or white commentators. It's not because I don't understand what the nooses mean, but because from what I see, the big brouhaha in the media each time somebody pulls one of these things doesn't do anything except spark other people to do it. It certainly doesn't seem to be preventing it from happening. And I thought what we wanted was for people not to do that. Now, of course, if we're talking about changing white people's psychology about black people, I'm not sure how we can do that. I think there's very little evidence that that is altered significantly by the rallies, etc. So, Gina was a situation where whatever happened, I was very happy to see the district attorney condemned. I think that he should lose his job. And so that's something that's very important, too. It's not that I don't agree with the things that unfolded in Gina. However, I do think that if the students had just looked at the nooses, thought of them as the trivial prank that they were above, and just walked on by, that would also have been an acceptable alternative because letting these things go is not a matter of pretending there's no racism, but in this particular case of racism, trying to do something that would decrease the occurrence of these episodes.
The mayor of Gina, Louisiana, also used that word prank, to which a lot of people took exception, saying these were not pranks, this was a threat.
Yeah, but if you notice, the nooses in most, if not all, of these cases are not a prelude to suddenly the birth of a nation happening. It's just the noose. It hangs there. And as I said in the editorial, somebody hangs the noose and black people go crazy. And that person looks at that on the internet, and then somebody else gets the idea that they'll get some attention or create some sort of disturbance by doing the same thing. It really is a prank. Basically, what we have to understand is that we black people do not gain anything by putting forth a pose where we say that somebody hangs a noose, it's a symbol of something that happened in the past, and therefore we're going to go nuts, as if it's not just a prank, but somehow because it has to do with insulting the descendants of African slaves, that it's this grievous, hideous breach of the social fabric. There comes a point when it does become a prank, an ugly one, but a prank. Pranks are ugly. People push the envelope, and there's no reason why race would be an exception in that.
Well, joining us now is Anne Reese Carswell. She's Associate Director of the Nyumbuhro Cultural Center at the University of Maryland and joins us from her office on that campus. It's good to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And a noose was found hanging on a tree near the cultural center. And I wonder, what was your reaction to that? Did you take it as a prank?
No, I did not take it as a prank. And, you know, that's insulting to me. As you know, a noose is a silent and deliberate threat intended to indicate hatred and bring about fear, terror, and panic. I mean, moreover, a noose is symbolic of hatred, violence, and lynching that occurred during a bygone era in our society. And since the Jena 6 incident in Louisiana has reminded us to stay vigilant in our effort to remember the historical significance of this delirious symbol. Your guest there said that black people go crazy when they hear the word noose. Mm-hmm. But if someone is doing that to get attention, yeah, maybe they need to get attention by facing, you know, consequences, you know, if they do something of that nature. I don't really think it should be a felony, but I definitely think that a person should have to pay a fine, maybe serve 30 days in jail and do community service, because if there are no consequences, then we'll keep on having copycats or it's the word he want to call a prank. Mm-hmm. But I really don't consider that to be a prank.
And this is not the first such incident that you've had at the Cultural Center.
Oh, no, this is not the first. Once we've been in this particular location on campus. The center is 36 years old, but we've been on campus. I mean, we've been in this location 11 years. And since we've been here, someone wrote the word nigger on the building. In 1999, someone sent out hate mail to students, call them nigga. They threatened to kill them and all this kind of incident. But if the person that hung the noose thought that it was going to divide the campus, as a matter of fact, it unified the campus. We had support from the administration, student body, different organization, the community. So it unified the campus.
Well, in a way, that's sort of John McWhorter's point, that these incidents were not the prelude to even more oppression. They were a rallying point for people to defy that.
That was not their intent.
I know that wasn't the intent of the attack, but that was the effect of the attack.
It just backfired. That's it.
Yeah, and it backfired, and therefore it is not the prelude to more oppression. It, in fact, unified the campus behind you.
Right, it did do that, but that was not the person's intent.
No, I understand. It was certainly not their intent. In the future, as you're saying, you think probably maybe a felony is too far, but certainly some consequences ought to ensue.
Yes, I definitely think so, because it's too many nooses happening around the country now.
All right. Thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Anne Reese Carswell is Associate Director of the Nyumbuhro Cultural Center at the University of Maryland, speaking with us from her office on the campus in College Park, Maryland. And we want to bring you callers into the conversation as well. Our phone number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And why don't we turn to Bob, and Bob's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I just want to disagree with your guess that when things like this happen, that we should just ignore them. I think And my reason for saying that is that I think the whole purpose, just like the lady that you were talking to mentioned, you know, if you ignore it, it will keep from, you know, by not ignoring it does not cause the incident not to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if we, because of what it is, the you know, this country for so many years has had a sore because of the, you know, the because of slavery and the injustice that was perpetrated on black people has had a sore on the whole country. Now, the civil rights movement in the 60s did a lot to cure that. But when we see things like this and like the Rodney King beating and stuff like that that goes on in this country every day still, it lets us know that that sore is still there. The main reason is because the mentality of people has mm-hmm. not changed. So we, you know, we did a lot to get the laws changed and stuff like that, but not the mentality and the hearts of people. And all the way that's going to be changed is through dialogue, through actually, when something like this happened, to make a discussion out of it so that the generations that come up. Now, I'm 54 years old. So, to me, I could ignore something like that, and it's no big deal. But for the generations coming up behind us, need to understand, you know, what this country has been through.
Yeah. Otherwise, John McWhorter, I wanted to give you a chance to respond. Should this be a teachable moment?
Well, yes. I understand completely what the caller is saying, but the fact is that these teachable moments don't seem to be working. We had quite a teachable moment after Gina, for example, and look what seems to have happened in the wake of it. And in general, these things just keep coming. And so I understand the desire for teachable moments, but the simple fact is that in this case, it doesn't seem to work, which conditions the approach that we might try something else. And as far as letting the nooses go when they become this kind of epidemic, we really haven't seen whether or not that would be effective because we make all of this brouhaha each time. And a very quick thing, I think we have to sometimes pull the camera in instead of out. Why give these people the power to make us so upset? I personally wouldn't.
Bob, thanks. All right, Bob. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're talking more about how we should respond to symbols and acts of racism should hanging a noose be a crime. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Up next, the creator of the Noose Watch tells us about a virtual map. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. When someone hangs a noose, most people would agree it sends a clear message. What's not so clear is the proper response. That's our focus today. How should we respond? Some argue it should be a crime. Others say the best response is to ignore it. What do you think? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also give us your thoughts on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. John McWhorter is with us. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, author most recently of Winning the Race Beyond the Crisis in Black America, also the author of a commentary broadcast last week on All Things Considered, which prompted this discussion. Here's an email that commentary provoked. This is exactly what his advice was to ignore it. This is exactly what we teach our children to do with bullies in school, wrote this emailer. Somewhere while growing up, we all start talking about feeling victimized. This commentary really brings home the correct solution to the problem. Alas, if more people would follow it. John McWhorter is with us from our bureau in New York. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is, Sumshi, is that correct?
Correct. When I first started driving a school bus, and I did that for 10 years, the kids raked me over the coals with their negative activities and other things that they would do that were, they just weren't appropriate. And my wife, who had been teaching for quite a while, mostly special ed behavioral problem kids, took me aside and explained, look, every time you respond by screaming and hollering and throwing your arms around, they're going to say, gotcha, and they're going to escalate it. Now, something like this, something that's reprehensible, is maybe a little stronger than just an outburst of kids on a school bus. But it taught me to try another method, and that was basically just say, excuse me, that's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do this over here, and you just, you know, need to stop and think about it. And it really worked, and I've applied that with as far as raising kids, Friends, we've taught friends that, and it brings those kids back into the, I'm not making that much of a deal over it and screaming and hollering, because that's exactly what they want. They want attention, and negative attention is still attention, and that's what they're trying to get.
That was interesting, though, talking earlier with Ann Reese Carswell at the Cultural Center in University of Maryland, and John McWhorter. I wanted to get you, she thought this ought to be an offense, and it clearly, in her mind, was an offense to her.
Yeah, well, let me try this. It would not be to me personally, and I think that that has some bearing on the larger discussion. If I were walking home one day with groceries and somebody hung some, you know, rope tied in a certain way around my door, I would be embarrassed to imply that the scummy person who did that had ruined my day or made me feel bad about myself or scared me. And for that reason, if I found out that that person had gone to jail or been fined for doing it, I would still feel embarrassed that the country felt the need to punish this person for supposedly harming me or my race. Now, in feeling that way, I don't think that that's such a psychologically counterintuitive way to feel. I think there's some sense that for the sake of the black identity, we have to subtract that basic sense of human dignity and do more symbolic things. And it's genuinely unclear to me why that is. If black America truly has pride, if we truly do have a good self-image, and I assume that we do, I at least try to, then we can't have this kind of response to these nooses, especially when, as I said, in this day and age, it does not appear that those nooses are a herald to something worse. They are just, and that's why I call it, pranks.
Simshi, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Joining us now is Luke Visconti. He's partner and co-founder of Diversity Incorporated. That's a publication about diversity issues. He started a virtual map called Noose Watch, and he joins us from member station WBGO in Newark, New Jersey. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
And what is Noose Watch?
Noose Watch came out of the Gen of Six coverage that we had on DiversityInc.com. We realized that there were a lot of these incidents happening that never made the national news, that these were happening all over the place. And in isolation, people did not realize that it was part of a pattern. And so we put all of the nooses that we found in the news for the last year on a map, and it's interactive, and you could look at all the different incidents after we confirmed them. And right now we have 35 nooses on the map, most in the Northeast and the Southeast, one in California, and that's all within the last 12 months.
And all within, I think the number we had was over two dozen over the last, in this year, calendar year, and that's since the Gina 6 incident, which of course was last December.
Yes.
And do you think that these are copycat incidents prompted by publicity?
No. I think that they go on all the time, and I think that they're meant to make people fearful and intimidated. And I think that it is, it's disturbing, but it's not an indication of something that may happen in the future or may increase. It's an indication of something that goes on right now. And I think the more that we're aware of it, the more that we could do something about it and move our country to a better place.
Mm-hmm. But clearly the publicity about the Gina 6 incident seems to have prompted other such incidents.
You know, I don't know that if it's prompted incidences as much as made them apparent. So that, for example, yesterday I heard that there were three nooses found in a Home Depot here in New Jersey, and somebody turned them into the store manager. Perhaps that was what was not happening before. Perhaps people were just saying, this is going to be ignored. I'm just going to have to let this go. Maybe now that some justice has been served or is about to be served in Gina, that maybe it's emboldening people, white and black, to speak up and say, we're not going to tolerate this hate mm-hmm. symbol.
And clearly you think ignoring it is not the appropriate response.
Well, I don't think ignoring cancer is a good idea.
The analogy some say would not hold. Cancer clearly is going to get worse. You just said you didn't necessarily think that this sort of racism was about to expand dramatically.
All right, I understand. But what you got to look at is a noose is a symbol of terror. It's meant to intimidate. And if it's ignored by the general society, then it succeeded. And you've intimidated people from not moving to a neighborhood they want to move to or go to a school.
Okay. Let's see if we get some more callers in on the conversation. And this is Benjamin. Benjamin's calling us from Berlin in Germany.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to make the point that I am calling from Germany. I'm an American, but living here in Germany. And, of course, very sensitive to these types of issues because of the history that surrounds me every day here. And, you know, I wanted to make the point that I really feel this is an escalation of sorts, and I don't think it should be ignored. And I wonder, with all due respect to your caller, you know, what his reaction would be if the next noose we find has someone hanging in it. And at that point, should these nooses still be ignored? You know, very often I pass the plaza here where the Nazis burned the books from the university, the Humboldt University, and there's a plaque there that says, you know, when a nation burns its books, next it burns its people. And so therefore I see the noose, yes, as a terrorist threat, a terroristic threat, and also as a real escalation. And I'd like to know how your speaker would react to if this does go a step further. Do we then still ignore these symbols?
John McWhorter, I think that's to you.
Well, I can say that when you are looking at things like this, you have to be open to contradictions to the way you look at things. And I'm quite sure that if we saw a black man hanging from a tree next week, then I would change my tune on this. You have to be open to doing it. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. However, I think that the current situation in the United States is such that that is vanishingly unlikely, and I will put myself on the line and say that here in this national forum. And so I'm responding to it in a different interpretation of the nooses, which is equally plausible to the one that supposes that we're in for a new spate of lynchings, which is that people are making a really nasty gesture because they see that it gets a response. The diversity website with the map is very interesting and very useful in its way, but each new noose that you see in each new state says to me that, once again, this has become something which has proliferated so much that what we need to do is take the sting away from the power of it to intimidate by not being frightened, because that's one way of making these things stop.
Hmm. Why do you think the map is interesting, John McWhorter?
Well, because this is an important point. Often people, especially people in my position, say, well, racism still exists, and then they move on. And I think that it's important to chart the fact that racism really does still exist. There are white people out there, and not just a few, who have severe biases against black people. The playing field is not level. And I think that there need to be graphic indications that that's true so that we can know what obstacles people do face, what the American psychology still is. That's not useless. However, I maintain that when it comes to these nooses and the media response to them or the legal response, I think the solution to getting rid of that symbol or at least lessening it is not to make a big deal every time one of them comes up. It seems counterproductive to me.
Luke Visconti, what do you think?
Well, I think that we have to look at the reality in our country that most white people think that the problem has pretty much gone away, yet black households have one-tenth the wealth of white households. And if you look at schools that underserve their students, the majority of them are in black towns like we're in Newark, where my office is. And I think that the noose is a symbol. The noose is a sign that things aren't as good as the majority seem to think they are. And by illustrating them and making them nationally known instead of just a local sign of terror, I think you do justice to the awareness that things are not as good as we all seem to think they are. And it is disturbing for all people to understand that they aren't as good as people seem to think they are.
And Luke Visconti, when you say terrorism is a crime. Should these nooses be criminalized as the New York State Legislature is considering doing?
Yes, I think they should be. Just as spray painting a swastika on a Jewish person's home is a crime, I think that any sort of hate speech like this, which has a violent intent behind it, should be a crime.
Okay. Benjamin, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye. From Stan on email. There is no single or simple answer to the question you pose. As a black man in America, I know I'll often have to make the split-second determination of how to respond to racism. Is the act malicious or just ignorant? If malicious, what's the potential danger I want to confront by responding? If ignorant, what's the likelihood that an ignorant person is prepared to learn the error of his or her ways? Understand that a person of color in America expends a tremendous amount of mental capacity on this calculus every day. John McWhorter, would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know if it's an everyday occurrence, and I'm viscerally uncomfortable with the idea that to be black is to be eternally torn and agonized in 2007. Maybe that's just me. I suspect it isn't. But yes, these are things which often have a case-by-case aspect to them, which is what I would have said about the nooses when, at least in terms of public awareness, it wasn't something that was so common. However, when it gets to the point that it's something that pops up on the web every 3 days, I think that we might have to change our tactics. And to make that kind of careful evaluation about every one of these cases is, once again, to give power to these extremely minor and small-minded people instead of being a self-satisfied, strong human being who has a life.
I also should point out that in your piece, you said there are moments when protest is appropriate, and you cited the Don Imus case. Also, the protest in Jena itself was certainly, I wasn't there, but it seemed to have had the aspect of being much more about what people believed was a miscarriage of justice
rather than
the nooses itself.
Yeah. My point here is not don't protest. This is not a kind of black bourgeoisie discomfort with making noise or anything like that. There is injustice. I think that Reed Walters down in Jena is an absolutely repulsive figure. I wrote an op-ed that apparently has gotten around a little less about that. And so I was very much in favor of, for example, Trent Lott being demoted after what he said about Strom Thurmond. I understand all that. But there are times when the idea that the black thing to do is to put your fist in the air and make noise is less effective than other times. And so it's in this particular case, you know, I'm known as the black conservative. Notice that I'm not really saying anything all that conservative. My interest is in getting rid of these nooses. We walk on by them to get rid of them, not because we don't know what they mean.
We're talking with John McWhorter and with Luke Visconti of Diversity, Inc. about, well, what should we do about symbols of racism in public displays? You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller in. This is Heather. Heather with us from Santa Rosa in California.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm very grateful to you, John McWhorter. Well, first of all, because I've listened to you for a while on African-American Roundtable and such. I'm a white woman in Northern California, and I think it's entirely possible that our responses to these should be different if we're black or if we're white, because the studies are showing psychologically that when you remind people who are a minority, whether they're young women or African Americans or whatever, before taking a test, that they are a minority, they score less. And so reinforcing this idea of difference doesn't necessarily work to our common goal of overcoming racism. But on the other hand, as a white person who grew up in Oregon and much later in life learned that my sheriff had been telling black people to leave town before sunrise, I would have had no idea that that was going on if I hadn't learned that. And there is something, I think, very effective about white people knowing that these number of nooses are showing up places. I happen to do a little bit of diversity work in the area of white privilege. And so I have seen the website that Diversity Inc. has with the nooses, and it's shocking. But I don't know how many white people actually see it.
Is that the purpose of this, Luke Visconti, at least in part?
Yeah, I think it is to be make aware how shocking the behavior really is. And half of my audience is white. So I think it's good education for everybody to understand the nature of the problem that we're all facing.
Thanks very much for the call, Heather. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Here's an email from Edward in Nashville, Tennessee. No one has the right to tell me, much less legislate, what my symbols should stand for. Charge me with trespassing if I hang the noose on someone else's property, but don't take away my right to assign meanings to my own symbols. John McWhorter, I don't think we've heard from you on this point. Is the New York State legislature correct if it votes to make this a felony?
Well, I would say that the answer to that would have to be no, because I genuinely believe that in a way it is demeaning to black people. I understand Diversity Inc.'s desire to show that racism still exists, but I guess it's a matter of priorities. I'm more interested in helping black people to make the best of themselves who've been left behind. So prisoner reentry efforts are important, healthcare efforts are important, all sorts of things that I try to pay close attention to, job training efforts for people who've been left behind. These are the things that are important. Showing that racism still exists, that there are white people who don't like black people, and that the playing field isn't perfectly level, is something that I consider a lesser priority, because it's unclear to me that there could exist a human society where there was no racism whatsoever or where a playing field was perfectly level. So I'm interested in trying to help people and trying to support legislation that would do that. The issue of demonstrating that the country is imperfect in terms of how people feel about black people has always struck me as a second level issue, because I'm not sure we can truly do as much about those things as we would like. So hooray for the site, but personally, I'm more interested in activist work that helps people to do their best despite the obstacles. And I think that that can happen, and it is happening.
John,
I'd like to respond to that.
If you could keep it short.
You bet. We give away 2% of our gross income to support scholarships for higher education. So I don't think these two issues are mutually exclusive. I think that you can do good work and illustrate what's going wrong with the country in an effort to improve the situation. So I don't appreciate the kind of belittling of my website or the intent behind it, because I actually do give away hundreds of thousands of dollars to fund scholarships at schools. So I don't think the things are mutually exclusive, and I think ignoring things is not a really good way to make progress happen.
Well, good luck to you.
We're going to have to leave it there. Luke Viscotti, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Luke Viscotti, partner and co-founder of Diversity, Inc., a publication about diversity issues, with us from member station WBGO in Newark. John McWhorter, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, author of Winning the Race, joined us from our bureau in New York. And John McWhorter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Coming up, do you want your news served with a dose of humor? Why The Onion may be a model for other newspapers. Stay with us. It's The Talk of the Nation from NPR News.